Hello and welcome back to the official Scottish Rugby Podcast. Rachel, we're going to get right into it. The 1872 Cup was back at the weekend. Glasgow versus Edinburgh BT Murrayfield. Well, Hamish Watson joins us now, fresh after the escapades at the weekend, back in the field. Most of the time I saw you, Hamish, running about with a big smile on your face. How good was it and how happy did you feel to be back?
Yeah, all the boys were extremely happy to be back. It's been a long time. I think it was almost 6 months from that game we played against France in the Six Nations. So there's a few sore bodies today in training, and we've just all got to try and get fit for a fairly quick turnaround now. But great to be back. I think the boys loved it, and it was great to get the win as well.
How were the first 20 minutes getting back up to speed? How long did it take to get your second win and get going again?
Yeah, it's one of those ones where it takes a while to get that second win. Once that came in, I think it was all right. I think we probably were, or I'm going to be a bit biased, but I think we sort of were the fitter of the two teams in that second half. We sort of started controlling the game a bit more and came into our own a bit. But that first 20 minutes, nothing. No matter what you do in your pre-season, nothing can prepare you for that sort of match intensity. You know, you can try and replicate it. You can do in-house games against each other, but nothing's quite like playing another team. And especially when you play your rivals, Glasgow, they're always such tough physical encounters. But yeah, it was great to get going again, and great to get the win.
Is there nervousness as well? Like obviously, at the start of every season, from such a long layoff, there's extra added nervousness just because you're not used to the preparation. Was it a wee bit like that on Saturday? Extra nerves?
Yeah, definitely some extra nerves. I was quite nervous going to the game, and you didn't know really quite what to expect with the whole no crowd thing. The last time we played at Murrayfield, it was obviously for an international, so it was very different. For Edinburgh games, we get about what, 6,000. So I know that's not much inside a big stadium like Murrayfield, but it does make a huge difference going to no fans. So that was something the boys had to try, kind of overcome as well. And I suppose just all of us as professional athletes just have to sort of get over that, because that's what the game looks like moving forward now for at least the next wee while anyway. So we had to get over that, and a bit of nerves. I think Stuart McInally did his pre-match ritual of being sick on the pitch on the way out, which isn't following the COVID protocols, but you know, so a bit of nerves, but it was great to get back out there, and I know all the boys really enjoyed it.
Well, you have a thousand people in and around the stadium this Friday, which is an amazing kind of step forward for everyone. Obviously a pilot event and a lot of eyes on BT Murrayfield, but you could be less nervous this weekend with, well, I think maybe about 700 fans. And so that, even though that's a small number, that will make a difference. It'll take away that kind of hollow feeling you've described already.
Yeah, it's going to be weird. I was when I heard that we're having like 700 or 1,000 fans in, that's going to be really weird, because you'll be able to hear almost what every fan's saying. It's not like loads of fans shouting. So it should be quite interesting. I don't know how they're doing it or how they're organising it, but it'll be great to get some fans in at least.
Yeah, on that point about you being able to hear the crowd, if there's only 700, that means they might be able to hear you answering back to them. There's a positive.
Yeah, exactly. I think on I don't know on the ref mic, I think you could hear quite a bit of the bickering between players, but I suppose it's quite nice for fans. They get a bit of an insight, as long as it's not too much swearing and stuff in front of kids. They get a bit of an insight into what sort of players are talking about. And I know definitely the Glasgow boys were trying to get stuck into all of us, and I don't know if you could hear that over the ref mic, but it gives sort of fans a bit of an insight into sort of the player chat, which is quite nice, I suppose.
But you mentioned the start, it was actually a cracking start for Edinburgh, wasn't it? You got kind of 6 points up before Glasgow hit back. But I said this to you before, because it was the first game for so long, we all know that. We've all watched, well, I've certainly watched a lot of the games, Southern Hemisphere and the Premiership games in England after the long break. And there have been kind of stuttered starts, but I thought you guys, the Edinburgh team, started really well and had a lot of cohesion. Glasgow came back into it. You had to wrestle the game back to get the win on a couple of occasions. But I don't know how you feel on the field or what you think, Rachel, but I thought that the product overall was actually really quite strong for, considering how long you'd been off.
I thought so as well. I thought it was a great start by us. We started really strongly, got 6-0 into the lead, which gave us a good confidence booster. And then we sort of let Glasgow get back into it a bit. You know, Glasgow are a great team, so we knew it was never going to be an easy ride by any stretch of the imagination. And we had a chance at half time to to get some points, and unfortunately went in at the break behind. And we still thought, even though we went in behind, we thought that we probably were edging it slightly, even though Glasgow were in the lead, and we sort of stuck to our guns in that second half, made a few less errors, and they probably weren't too happy with the way the breakdown went for them. I think we dominated that breakdown battle with under the new rules. So I think that really helped us gain field position. And eventually, you know, the cracks started to show, and we got a few great finishes from one set up from Duan, where Groomy scored, and then obviously a bit of magic by Chico.
Yeah. So around that breakdown stuff, obviously it's been a massive talking point the last wee while rugby's been coming back. As someone who's a bit of a, well, what you might call a breakdown specialist, how did you find it with kind of, not necessarily the new rules, but the new way the rules are being refereed? So did you find it changed the way you played? Did it help you, or opposite?
Yeah, I think it's something that we're all going to have to get used to. It's going to benefit open side flankers in the back row and anyone who really likes a jackal a bit more, because it doesn't look like you're needing to survive the clear out for quite as long. They've also cracked down on just trying to protect the jackal a bit from side entries, which I definitely agree with the side entry one. I think that's yeah, a really good thing, because last season that was sort of getting a bit out of hand with people coming in at 45 degree angles and just taking away legs, really. And it looked pretty illegal. So I'm glad they've got away with the side entrance. With the holding on stuff, I think it's a bit weird one. We're just going to have to get used to it, because I thought maybe at times there were a few very quick ones, and watching the Prem and a bit of the Super stuff, I think the refs are blowing them very quickly, and I think that might change. I think the more we see, because I think it's meant to quicken up the game, but you're seeing a lot of penalties, and you only have to seem to be in there for a split second, which is great for jacklers, but I think you also do want the game to flow a bit. So I think that's something they might. I think we saw at the start of the Super stuff that there were almost 30 penalties a game, and now towards the end it started, refs and players started getting used to it a bit. But it encourages the attacking team as well. It's just all about speed to the breakdown, really, which is a good thing as well.
Have you guys taken any learnings from this week that you're going to take into next week with that, in terms of what you've seen from what the ref did, but also like how you guys coped with it?
Yeah, I think we coped probably better than Glasgow. I think we won that breakdown war. I think we got quite a few turnovers, or 7 turnovers or so. So I think we were the better of the two teams. So it's just trying to, that's something they'll be working on this week. They probably know that we did edge that contest. I think they maybe got two jackal turnovers. But it was other stuff as well, you know, like sealing off, and there was still a few side entries. And I think the refs are just going to be a bit quicker on certain stuff around the breakdown. So it obviously worked for us this weekend. So we've got to stick to our guns, and hopefully we know it's going to be a crucial part of the game as well, as you could see from the game at the weekend. So if we can dominate that again, that's going to help us get the victory this weekend.
Yeah, it was that. I totally agree with what you're saying and how it's going to be refereed. And it's good to get the players taking that as well. Like, you thicker the action, you're actually in it affects you more than any of us, or certainly Rachel when you get back as well. But the whole idea is that it makes it safer. So if you are the tackler, you have to roll away quicker to make the picture clearer for the referee. But also there's a responsibility on that jackler to try and lift the ball as well, rather than just get in there and hold it and then get hit from two or three different angles. But I noticed you guys do that. You always do it. You're one of the kings of it, Mish, getting in, winning that turnover. But if you think in the lead-up to Nick Groom's first try, he actually stole the ball about halfway. He won the turnover. And there was a turnover. I'm not sure who won it for Charlie Shields' try.
Yeah, it was on. Bennett, I think.
So it's across the board. And I think it's really refreshing to see players getting over the ball but winning it, rather than just having the mindset of stopping the opposition playing.
Yeah, I agree, definitely. I think, as you just mentioned there, a few breakdowns were won by people you wouldn't usually expect as well. So I think everyone's having a little nip at it, knowing that it might not take quite as long to get them. But, you know, we're just going to have to see how it goes, because I think referees will adapt to it. And I think it will take slightly longer. A few of them, you watch back and you're like, oh gosh, we were only on it a split second there, or vice versa with some of the Glasgow ones. But it's good for the game. And I think, like you say, if the jackal's actually trying to rip the ball up, that's going to quicken up the game, rather than them just staying in there and taking the collision. So hopefully it speeds the game up a bit.
what's training looking like this week? Obviously, first game back in a while, like we said, and then quick turnaround into next week. So how's the week looking in terms of build up for the next game?
So today, yeah, was our first game in. We had Sunday off, and like I was saying to you guys before, there's a few weary bodies knocking around today, a few sore ones. I think there may be a few changes at the weekend just to try and look after a few boys, but we know that this game, I think we have secured that home semi-final now, but by no stretch of the imagination, it's a dead rubber for us. We've got to go into the semi-final thinking we've got to keep our momentum. If we lose to Glasgow on Friday night, you know what it's like, all sports, a game of confidence really as well. So we need to try and keep the momentum going and keep flying high. And for Glasgow, it's one of those games that they're playing for pride. They're still playing against their rivals. They've got a big point to prove always when they play against Edinburgh. And likewise, when we play against them, whether that's for positional stuff, opposite man sort of stuff. And they also know that after this, they've got 4 weeks off or however long they've got till their next game. So they can also sort of think, well, one last push, try and beat our rivals, and then we get a bit of time off as well. So there's motivation for both teams there. And I think hopefully it'll be a good game.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, and again, I've gone back through the game quite closely this morning just for one or two things. And although it seemed comfortable in the end, 15 points to 30 scoreline, until about 60 minutes, I thought Glasgow were actually ahead in two or three different areas. And they did lose that breakdown battle, the penalty battle that cost them dear. So from their point of view, there'll be maybe three or four key moments in the game that they'll focus on that will give them more belief or added belief that they can come back up a reasonable performance with a winning performance next week. So it will be another fierce encounter, whoever takes the field. And from your guys' point of view, home semi-final guaranteed against Ulster the following Saturday, I think. So you're all fighting for places as well.
Definitely. I think the boys know that you've got to be with the squad we have at Edinburgh now as well. You've got to play well every game, whether it's mm-hmm. a game like this that doesn't really determine where we're going to be playing the semi-final, or whether it's whether it is a semi-final or a final. We've always got to be on it. We've got players pushing for spots, and like we say, these games against Glasgow, they're never a friendly. They're always as you can see from the weekend, they're always pretty physical battles with a lot of niggle, as you can see from the weekend as well. I think there was a lot of afters in various bits and bobs, but that's the way it is. They're always tightly contested, and you know, there is a lot on the line in these games, so I'm sure the weekend will be no different.
Can you share any of the bits of niggle with us? Honestly, I saw you smiling and giggling to yourself about three or four times. Is there anything you can hear?
You know what? It's just small stuff with them, with Glasgow. We've got a lot of Glasgow Warrior listeners on the pod, so I'm not going to get into details because I don't want to be hated by Glasgow Warrior fans. But it's just one of those games, you know. It's like any rivalry in any sport, but there always seems to be a bit of feistiness, and it's good for the fans, and it's bar the odd scuffle that goes on a bit too long, it's good to watch at times. Although I got involved in a bit of afters at one point, I was like, I'm too knackered for that. After that, I'm absolutely shattered. And it's you get up and you're like, that wasn't worth it really. So that's why I normally don't get involved in it. I'm trying to conserve my energy.
Great. And did you see any of the Connacht Ulster game at all?
I didn't watch any of that. I saw the result, and I heard Connacht played pretty well. I watched a bit of the Leinster Munster stuff. Oof, when I got
that
back
was brutal,
in. Yeah, I watched the second half of that, and they both looked very good, very sharp. So they sort of come back where they left off, sort of thing. So that will be if we meet any of them, they will be very tough games.
Mm-hmm. How's the vibe in camp in terms of that? Kind of, you've obviously got the Ulster game coming up, and then potentially, I think, what did we say? Was it 17 weeks on the bounce, you said, potentially?
Could be something like that, yeah, with European semis and finals and starts next season.
How do you guys feel in terms of approaching that big chunk of games and really important games as well?
We spoke about it briefly. It's sort of this first block, we've very much taken it as we've got two against Glasgow, a semi-final and a final, hopefully, all being well. So we're taking this first bit, and we'll worry about the next block later. It's been spoke about obviously a bit with the players that we've got, you know, so many games on the bounce. And if we get to the final of this and then the final the other one, it could be a long old season. But I think you can't look at it like that. You've got to take every game as it comes. And it's the same. We spoke about the semi-final a bit obviously this morning because that came out that hopefully, well, I think we have got that home semi-final now, but it's still very much our focus is on Glasgow because like I said before, it's a lot to do with confidence. Sport's a big confidence thing, especially rugby. So we've got to keep the ball rolling and keep our momentum going and keep morale high in the camp as well and get another win to put us in a great position against Ulster.
It's quite a nice position to be in terms of the type of rugby that you have got coming up. It is all very exciting, you know, the kind of games that you play rugby for, isn't it, in terms of your semi-finals, your finals, your rivalries with local teams and stuff like that. That's the kind of stuff that players like dream about in terms of their careers. So I guess you're in a pretty nice spot in the moment that you've got kind of game after game that is like that kind of cup final rugby.
Yeah, 100%. We spoke about that in the pre-season block as well before we got into the games. We sort of saw these as four cup finals, like you say, because we knew we had to win at least one of the Glasgow games to try and secure that home semi-final. And if Munster would have won, we would have had to win both of them. So before we went into this, we saw them as like you say, four cup finals and in this mini block. And then this is a sort of, then obviously you've got the European stuff. But like you say, it's the rugby you want to be playing. You're playing top teams. Glasgow are a top team. They're in the final last year. They won it a few years ago now. And they're a top team. Then you've got Ulster. And then, you know, who knows who you've got in the final, Munster or Leinster. So it's these are the games you want to play in. And minus the slight lack of fans, they're all massive games.
It's a big squad effort. I know we've touched on it before, maybe going over kind of something you said already, but because of the condensed nature of these fixtures, and then you could have this big block of fixtures running into each other as well as international, you're going to need the squad depth. And that was one positive from my point of view on Saturday for you guys. The guys that came off the bench really made an impact. Those guys came on at half time, and then you're bringing on cap internationals like Nick Haining and the guys up front, the front row change. And me, Charlie Shiel, comes on and scores a wonder try, didn't he? You know, from your point of view, how good was that to not only come on and the game's hard enough to get your second win, but to not have played for so long and then come on and make the impact these guys made off the bench?
Yeah, we know how important the bench is nowadays in rugby, and it's a huge energy booster when you see people like that coming on, and all our props swapped at halftime as well and gave a real impact. And I think it's a testament to our whole squad, really, that we can sort of make those sort of changes at halftime and everyone goes about their business and not much changes. We've got now a big squad and such a good squad that you can have two 15s, and you know there's not too much difference between us. We played a short 20 minutes in house game, and you know we had a 2-15 split, and they were pretty even as well. So it's great that we've got such good squad depth now. And like you say, if there's a few injuries, because like we have got a few injuries in the second row and a couple in the back row, that boys just step up and get on with it, and they know exactly what they have to do, their job. And in training, again, the people sometimes forget the preparation that goes into these games. We've had 4 weeks of preparing for Glasgow now and doing some of their stuff, what we think they're going to do, and our non-23 preparers amazingly well for that, and are quite a lot of the time on top of us in training sessions as well, which helps the match 23 train better, you know. And they sort of bring the intensity, and you've got to, as the match 23 match that, so that's great as well. And yeah, it's a massive squad effort.
I don't think I ever won a team run against the non-23.
You know that? I know.
Always happens.
It's very funny. It's shoulders on, but you've got boys flying in, leg chopping the match 23 and stuff. Very frustrating at times, but you can. It prepares as well.
I did do a wee bit deeper thinking into it when I used to get myself really frustrated and think, how can this be? But obviously the non-23 knew exactly what we were going to do as well. So there's a bit of inside info for the leg chopping and this flying it, exactly. Leg and smashing it.
Exactly.
The second row you mentioned, though, I thought Andrew Davidson was having a great debut as well. He went off and then replaced by Jamie Hodgson, who was outstanding as well. So just the example you gave of the second row, that you've got so much depth with Gilko and Ben Toulis and all the others, but the young players coming in really give that depth. And it's important now, but it'll be important as the season goes on as well. So hopefully in a good position for a historic season.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Like you say, you've got Benny Toulis out, Lewis Carmichael out, and then we've had other boys step up now, like Big Bubba, who had a really good first 20 minutes. Outstanding Call of Duty player as well, by the way. Oh my gosh. Honestly, next level.
Really? Just through being a young guy that probably grew up in that environment, other than that. Well,
Well, I like to think that I grew up in that environment, but he's a hacker. He's hacking. But yeah, anyway, and he had a really good 20-30 minutes before he unfortunately went off with a head knock. And like you say, then Hodgie stepped up really well as well. So we've got a lot of depth, and obviously missing a few boys in the back row from the weekend as well, like Jim Ritchie and Maggie and stuff like that. So it's really all good signs for Edinburgh, and hopefully we'll get another good result this weekend.
Well, Rich, Hamish, as ever, is just such a kind of enthusiastic guy around rugby. Great to have on. He's been on a few times, but he talks so well about rugby, but he's got that wee bit kind of humour in him as well. He's a real star, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. It was funny to hear a little bit of his perspective from what he thought of Glasgow, which I thought was quite funny. But no, yeah, great to hear how kind of much they're enjoying being back in and building momentum.
And you were particularly interested in the stuff around the breakdown for you take the field again, playing the back row, playing hooker, wherever. Did you learn anything from that, or is it just almost a underlining what you've seen from the games you've watched already?
Yeah, I think it's just underlining stuff. We've had a lot of information out as players, and I guess it's kind of one of those where you can read and see a lot, and I think until we get into it and give it a go. So that's why it's quite interesting hearing from him now, having probably had the same amount of kind of information fed in and done the work in training, but to actually do it in real life, you know, is it as different as everyone talks about at the moment and that kind of thing? So I think it's a really good perspective, but it does sound like it's just going to be a kind of learn on the job type of thing for everyone as we get going.
I was really impressed as well by how positive he was around it. I mean, you keep seeing changes, they're not changes, just reinforcements of what's already there, applications, law applications, but he was really positive around them, and also really clear about the kind of coming in from the side and at the 45-degree angle. I mean, that he got a bad injury, I think, against Ireland, and we see it, but it might be close to his playing style, but it's really quite reassuring to know that the governing body are getting it right. This has to be looked at.
Well, I think completely. Like, I think for a player like him who is, you know, a breakdown specialist, there is such a big risk versus reward there with what he's doing. So to put your body in that very, you know, what's the word? Exposed vulnerable position, to know that you could have someone come in flying in from the side really is extremely brave. So to know for someone like him that it's now going to be policed and reffed appropriately is so positive. And I think it makes for a much more interesting game as well, and a lot more opportunity for, as he says, you know, they were probably getting more steals than they're used to, and players who wouldn't normally get one were getting one. So it makes it a bit more exciting.
Breakdown specialist. It's a great type to bring in, Al Kellogg. ever been summed up as a breakdown specialist, Al?
Yeah, we've all got a 7 on our back. Mossy, we all play with a 7 on our back.
Yours is about 6'9" off the ground, though. The number 7 on your back.
By the time I got down there to the ball, somebody already smacked me. That was fascinating listening to you guys. It sounds, I have to apologise for being slightly behind schedule. There's been a few things on today, but it sounds as if you had a great chat. I've got to say, though, Hamish has got to be an advocate of the way the law has been interpreted now, because it suits him perfectly. Like, for me, and I'm looking forward to listening to your in-depth interview, but you win the race, you win the ball, defence or attack. Hamish, both in defence and attack, the majority of times, wins the race. Mm-hmm. So he's going to get more turnovers off this.
Yeah,
you're right. And the fact that we spoke about was lifting the ball, actually winning the turnover. It's no good now just to park up over that in that jackal position and not try and win the ball. But you're right, he wins most of the races. And that's the brilliant thing about it. We talk about bravery, we talk about courage, we talk about strength and technique. Actually, if you're really sharp in the mind, if you can read the game and get in, win that ball, that's your rewarding decision-making and intelligence in the field, which sometimes gets forgotten about when we kind of get caught up in the gladiatorial physical battle of rugby. But if you get in quick enough,
it's going to be fascinating to see how it's refereed, because there are certain referees, and Nigel Owen springs to mind, who let the breakdown unfold. Like, he was probably the guy who let the breakdown go on the longest.
So you think he'll maybe, his instinct will maybe, can he struggle with this initially till he gets used to it?
Yeah, well, I think the way that he refereed, and he was world leading in this, that he let a fair battle, if you like, happen.
Contest.
If you're in there and you're over the ball, he would let 3 or 4 seconds go by to see whether you could survive that. Whereas now, that's gone. So I'll be interested to see the referees who in the past would have had a tendency to let that contest unfold, whether they'll go to the way Mikey Adamson refereed at the weekend, which you know he was and other games that we've seen, he was quick in the whistle. You know, if you win that battle and you can get a clear shot at it, then that was good enough for the penalty.
Okay, so we'll look ahead to this week, the second or the back-to-back games, and a big change, folks, in terms of spectators being allowed. Now, this is a huge step forward. The eyes of the kind of sporting community, really, the events community, will be on BT Murrayfield on Sunday night. It's so much hard work's gone into this planning, preparation, foresight, forward thinking. That comes with a lot of responsibility, but we're going to get some fans in and a pilot event to BT Murrayfield on Friday night, and that's great news for everyone involved and a lot of responsibility as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think what you say there is it's not just a sporting environment. It's exactly as you say, a sporting community, the event community as well. It's the first kind of mass gathering. Now, we're talking about 600 fans or so in a stadium that holds over 67,000. So it will be done exactly in the right way, because people haven't been out. That's the other thing. People haven't been to live sporting events. So you need to provide a platform that gives people confidence in being there. And I know there's been a huge amount of work going on in the background with Scottish Government to get this pilot event to go ahead. And with the 14th of September being a date that everybody's got their eyes on as far as kind of wider opening up of stadium around Scotland, this is about proving best practice, I suppose. It's about learning from it. It's about making sure that they can, as I say, provide that confidence. But how good will it be to have fans in there making a wee bit of noise? Like, we were both working at that game at the weekend, Mossy, and it's a funny old atmosphere when there's nobody in there at all. And the loudest people actually were either the commentators, I could hear you guys speaking from where I was, or the subs. The subs were the ones generating the atmosphere. So a few fans in there will make it a big difference. I think this is the first sporting event, certainly in Scotland, that there'll be any crowds in at all.
Yeah.
Down south, I believe the snooker had the final had some fans in. But this will be, you know, this is leading the way. And as you say, Mossy, it comes with a huge amount of responsibility. But the work that's been going on, not just recently, but the long-term work that's going on to building back towards us, I'm sure will set it off in a great manner.
And some of that work includes staggered arrival times. If it's 600-700 spectators, they're going to open a huge amount of turnstiles. There's going to be one-way systems, all the sanitisation. Hopefully it goes well. Certainly it's been planned particularly well, but hopefully it gives people confidence as well, and it makes a difference. And the people who are lucky enough to come along do have a great experience and get treated to another cracking game of rugby.
From what I understand, the bulk of the tickets, as you expect, will go to Edinburgh's fans. You said Edinburgh's home game as well. But from a Glasgow point of view, the comms that are going out from Glasgow highlight the fact that this takes everybody one step closer to getting back in to be able to support their team in whichever sport you're involved in. But from a Glasgow fans' point of view, one step closer to getting into Scotland as well to cheer on Glasgow in some of these Pro 14 games. And yeah, the players, you saw a lot of the players talking about how strange the atmosphere was for them. So I think they'll be delighted that there'll be a bit more noise in behind. Just before we finish up today, guys, in other news, there is a certain kit launch happening this Friday as the new men's and women national teams kit is put out for all to see. We'll wait and see. We don't want to give away any spoilers, but from your guys' point of view, the jersey you play in, what it looks like, feels like, does it make any difference, Rach, or you just, you know, get on and go?
I'd be lying if I said it didn't matter.
I imagine that Mossy's going to say exactly the opposite of that.
Get it on and go.
No, because comfort is key to playing well, so it's got to fit nicely. And yeah, look good, play good.
What about you, Mossy?
Ah.
I seem to remember you were in a and you were doing it in front of the mirror and giving it a bit of that.
That's me.
Right, I don't do any of that. I just want to be comfortable.
You know, taking selfies before the game just to make sure you looked all right.
That's me in a nutshell, Al. You've got me, eh? I think it's important, as Rach says, to to be comfortable, to look better. It's filling the jersey, Al, you're old saying that it's the filling of it that is the most important thing. But it's great to have different jerseys. It's weird, different memories do come into mind if you go up the attic and pull out an old cap jersey and it's a light blue one, or it's a white one, or it's an orange one, or it's this one. And it actually takes you right back to the kind of memories. So you've got my kind of career is a wee bit documented or bookmarked with different jerseys. So they all mean something special. But let's hope it's a cracker. I'm sure it will be that comes out the weekend and the fans like it.
You know what, Moshe, when you say that, the one that the memory that stuck in my mind actually is you in the tangerine top.
Mm-hmm. My second cap was an orange one. My first cap was the 99 World Cup in Spain, and then the Six Nations in 2000 against France was my second cap.
You scored a try, or?
No.
There's a photo of you from that game that I've seen. It's maybe one that's up at...
Kicked a couple of goals. I ran into the post. That might be the moment you're on about. The high ball. Gerard Merceron was a standoff for France. No, you've got me losing time here. And obviously, you're playing France. I like a high ball. They know fine well. There's this 21-year-old guy at fullback who's getting his second cap, and he'll be nervous. So the very first touchy ball, you're expecting, you know, it's coming. Thump, it goes up in the air. And all I can think of is all the coaches, your family, just say, just keep your eye on the ball. Just keep your eye on the ball. Keep your elbows in. Keep your eye on the ball. Take this high kick. And it was up there for ages. And I did that. I took it. I kept my eye on the ball, but I kept my eye on the ball so specifically that I ran flat out into the post pad as I caught the ball. Bang. Somehow it stuck in my hands and I managed to get a kick away to touch. But I thought, well, there's more to life than keeping your eye on the ball. You have to keep your eye on the post as well. But yeah, that was in the orange jersey. That's maybe
the image I'm thinking, you know.
That'll be the image. This kind of crazy guy, desperate to catch. Smack at the post. Thank goodness for post pads, or I could have been off with a pretty severe HIA early on.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed rugby being back at the weekend. I hope you enjoy the game we've got coming up at the weekend on Friday night with Glasgow taking on Edinburgh again. And keep your eye open for that kit launch on Friday morning. Once again, thanks for listening to the official Scottish Rugby podcast.